what's done around the altars this week. And so we're excited to be here. I really am. I appreciate the invitation to come, the place to stay, the wonderful accommodations. And I'm going to do my best this week. I appreciate my wife being here. And our oldest son, Grant, is not here, back home working, doing other things. But my middle son, Landon, is here. Brooklyn is here as well. And we're just excited to be in the house of the Lord and just to see what God has in store for us. How many are going to worship the Lord? Amen. How many believe the Lord can show up on a Tuesday morning in youth camp? I believe that, don't you? I know you do as well. I believe the morning services can be as powerful as the night services. Amen. Why don't we just stand right now and let's lift our hands and let's just worship the Lord. And amen. Let's just invite God's presence into our hearts in a fervent way right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord. We just magnify your name. Lord God, we thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. This is the day you've made. We rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice in it. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. We love you, Lord.
Well, it's good to be here. I love the Lord. I appreciate his many blessings. I grew up going to youth camps. That's when I was 12. I got saved at a youth camp, Camp Peniel, in Neosho, Missouri. When I was 14, I received the Holy Ghost in a youth camp at Sunset Hills in Granite City. So I love youth camps, and I'm thankful for the transformation it can make in a life. Yes. But I can relate to what Brother Shoecraft was saying last night. I was raised more liberal, so I would really get touched at youth camp, and the Lord would deal with me about areas of my life, and I'd go back behind those chairs like he talked about. And I could relate to that. And that's a terrible place to be. I remember the pool of the world and the pool of the Lord and the pool. And until I completely surrender to the Lord, you know, a lot of times the devil will tell you, you're going to lose everything. But actually, when you lose everything, that's when you actually gain everything. And so, you know, maybe you're raised more, you know, maybe your parents let you do things. I remember pants was a big thing I had to give up. And I was raised, it was okay to wear them. And I know when I go to youth camps, I'd hear differently. And the Lord started dealing with my heart, and I gave them up. And I remember just the freedom of that. I thought it was such a big deal to give up. But once I gave them up, I was like, man, that's nothing. But just anything you hang on to, you know, when you give it up for the Lord. And so I could relate to that. I appreciated that message. And there's such freedom in just serving the Lord and giving him, and this is a great opportunity this week for each and every one of you to do that. So, some have made Jesus a game that they play, to others a song that they sing. Oh, but since I met Jesus, I'm happy to say, to me he's become everything that
God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. I'm glad Jesus is everything to us. I know most of you are from Tennessee, but I know there's one or two from Virginia. I saw a couple from Alabama, some from Arkansas, and there's some from Georgia. So on the count of three, well, some from Kentucky as well. Good to see you, Brother David. Amen. So on the count of three, wherever you're from, shout the state, and let's see if the rest of us can outrank the folks from Tennessee. You ready? One, two, three. Yeah! I think we did it, don't you? I think so. I don't think they're proud they're from Tennessee. I'll give you a repeat, or another shot here, Tennessee. You ready? One, two, three. Yeah! Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll let somebody else decide who won. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, also 1 Samuel chapter number 9. Praise the Lord. Stand with me as we read from the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. I don't want any of you to have flashbacks, but how many of your elementary school teachers? How many are old enough? Some of you, this new generation, I know you, they don't have these, but my elementary school teacher had one of those. I don't want anybody to have flashbacks. That's not what I'm using it for this morning, but hopefully nobody will go into a post-traumatic stress attack or anything. Lay hands on somebody if they need it this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. The Bible says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechereth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Notice that. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Verse number 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning. I want to talk to you how God measures things this morning differently than you or I do. Amen. Men measure things a lot differently than God does. So I want to talk to you about how God measures things by heart and not by height. And the two texts that I've read I want to get to in a little while, but it's really the first two times that Israel has a king, and we know them as Saul and David, and we'll get there in just a little while, but there's a major difference between the way that those kings are chosen, and I think it'll make sense once we get there. But you or I, we're conditioned to judge things by what we see. We're good at measuring things. We're conditioned that way from when we're little kids. Everything's a contest. Matter of fact, you take the youngest of these guys and you put them in the parking lot and you tell them to pick up rocks, and all of a sudden it becomes a contest. Who can pick up you know, how many rocks the fastest. It may be who can pick up, you know, the fastest amount of rocks. Who can pick up the biggest rock? Who can pick up the funniest looking rock? Everything becomes a contest. We love to measure things. When we get a little bit nervous is when we can't measure things, you know, and when we get into that place in life to where things are somewhat ambiguous and we can't measure things. And so sometimes when our teachers are a little bit fuzzy on the directions, we want to know black and white. We want to know exactly, what are you expecting from us? Because when we go home, mom and dad's going to know we want clear-cut directions because I did okay. You know, how many of you went home and you told your mom and dad, well, how to go on the test? And you said, okay, well, no, that's not an answer. I don't want okay. Did you do good? I think I did okay. Well, what does that mean? Is that an A? Is that a C? They passed out tests. Well, how'd you do? Well, I think I did pretty good. Well, pretty good. Then the next kid beside you got an F, you know? Well, I don't, what does that mean? We like to measure things. One of my first experiences, I remember being second grade. We moved schools. Dad, we used to live on Brant Pike, and this is no joke. He bought a house at the end of Sesame Street. When I was in second grade, Dad bought a house, and we lived at the end of Sesame Street. My house was at 7001 Summerdale Avenue, and we T-boned on Sesame Street. And if you would not stop at the stop sign at the end of Sesame Street, you would come into my bedroom. And so I lived at the corner of Summerdale and Sesame Street, and there were some characters that I could tell you about that lived on Sesame Street that I never saw the television show, but there's some of them folks I might have wondered if that wasn't the prototype for they made the show or whatever. But Sesame Street. And so I moved schools in second grade, and I remember in my first recess on second grade, I wasn't real prone to academics. My sister was the brain in the family. She was 4 years older. And so during school, my favorite thing was lunch and recess. So in grade school, that was about all I did was watch the clock waiting for recess and, you know, kickball games and things like that. So second grade, I was ready for recess. And I remember my first recess at Titus Elementary. I'd been at Monticello, kindergarten, first grade, and all the way through. And I had went to school from kindergarten with the same kids, and we had the same teams. And man, we had some competitive games, and I mean, school was, it was fun. Well, when I went to Titus, nobody knew who I was. And I remember we picked up teams on that first recess, and I remember they started picking up teams, and they picked that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy. And something was different this recess because I wasn't getting picked. Everybody was getting picked. They were going back and forth and back and forth. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't getting picked. I felt very, very odd. I was used to being picked at the very top of the order because in kindergarten, we had the same team for the first 3 years of my life. And so, but at Titus, nobody knew who I was. And I thought, when I get up to kick, whoever picks me, I'm going to show you have made the right choice. And whichever team doesn't pick me, I'm going to make you regret the fact you didn't pick me on your team. And I still have, you know, I still have that pain back there. You can see I'm still needing therapy over that. And that's been what, I was 9 years old, 36 years ago. I'm still trying to come to grips with that trauma in my life. But we're sizing up because at that time I thought I was average height, but you know, come to find out I'm below average height. I didn't realize that, but I was below size. So you know what they were doing? They were sizing me up. Here's this second grader coming into our school, and they were looking at everybody else, and they were, you know, they were just kind of sizing me up. They were just kind of looking at me and say, well, he's probably below size, so he's probably not somebody we want on our team. And we're really, really good at stuff like that. We're from the very, very beginning of our early years in life, we start judging people by what we see. We're conditioned that. We start judging them by the clothes they wear, the cars they drive, the house they live in. When you get older, older? Where'd you go to school? What degree do you have? What job do you have? Girls, when you start dating, well, you'll look at the car they roll up in. You'll want to see the picture. All kinds of things, and we start judging them by what we see, and it's that standard that is implanted in our mind, and it's that way even when we start looking to the Word of the Lord. And the problem with that is many times that it leads us down a path that is very shallow, and it leads us down a path that is very destructive in many, many lives. And so as we step into the Word of the Lord today, there was a scene that King Saul was chosen. And the reason King Saul was chosen is because Israel wanted a king to be like everybody else. Israel said, hey, you know, we're not like everybody else. They started looking around and they said, God, everybody else has a king. We don't have a king. And really what they were doing is they were sizing everybody else up. They were measuring them by everybody else. They were looking at the other nations and they were saying, well, the other nations have a king. The other nations have somebody in charge, and we don't have a king. We have this invisible king by the name of God, and we have some prophets, but we really don't have a king, and we want somebody on the throne that we can call king. We want to be like everybody else. And when you start measuring your life to fit in with everybody else, you're going to start missing the will of God for your life. And there's pressure in this society, and there's pressure in this hour, amen, to try to be something you're not, and who you're to try to be who God wanted you not to be. The intent of God, the plan of God, and the originality of God in your life is so unique and so authentic that if you start measuring your life by somebody else, even in the same youth group, you're going to miss the plan of God, and you're going to miss the blessings of God if you try to mimic somebody and not who God wants you to be. God has a distinct plan for who that you are. That's why God doesn't measure things like we measure things. Amen. Paul told even the Ephesians, he said, measure the love of God. Measure the love of God. The length of it, the height of it, the depth of it, the breadth of it. We're good at measuring things because if we see it, we can measure it. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't operate that way. God has a completely different measuring system, that God can measure things in such a way that you or I don't measure things. And so hear me today, young folks, that you don't have to feel the pressure to measure up to somebody else in your youth group or somebody else's impressions or somebody else's expectations. You don't have to feel the pressure to have the same level of academic achievement, or you may not be cut out like them. You may not have the same temperament. You may not come from the same background. There's probably young folks sitting in this room today that you look at your family structure and you come from a family environment and you say your family, you know, your family tree, it's not real pretty and it's not real clean and it might be all kind of messed up and there's some things in your background and in your granddaddy's background, and you're thinking, I don't understand how God could ever use somebody like me. But when we look in the Word of God, amen, there's plenty of men of God. Amen, their family trees were all kind of messed up. Amen, because God doesn't ever measure anybody. Amen, by things they could not control. Amen, it wasn't Saul's decision. Amen, to be head and shoulders above anybody else. That was a decision beyond his control. Amen, it was genetics. It was beyond his control. Amen, friend, when it's beyond your control, you're not going to give an account because of your granddaddy's decision, because your daddy walked out on your mama, because your mama stepped out on your daddy, because of what an aunt or an uncle did or some cousin did. You're not going to stand account before God, but you will stand account before God because you made a decision that you're going to take responsibility for who you are and give an account before God to say, I can make an account. I can stand responsible for who I am, and God can use me for who I will be in God. Hallelujah. You say, well, I can never measure up to who they are. But whose standards are we trying to measure up to? When somebody gets up to sing, we measure them and say, oh, I could never measure up to them. Well, who are we trying to measure up to be? When somebody gets up to preach or somebody gets up to teach, we say, well, I could never measure up and to teach like that or to preach like that. But what kind of standard are we trying to put in our mind? Amen. God does not want you to preach like them. Amen. God does not want you to teach like them. Amen. God does not want you to seem like them. Amen. As Jeremiah said, amen. God said, while you were in your mother's belly, I knew you. Amen. I formed you. Amen. I'm going to tell each one of us this morning that God's got a distinct plan for you. Amen. God's got a divine purpose for you. Amen. God crafted you. Amen. God formed you. Amen. God breathed life into you. Amen. God's got a plan for you. And you don't have to measure up to anybody's standard. You don't have to measure up to anybody else. Amen. You don't have to please anybody but God. You don't have to run with anybody, fit in with anybody. Be who you are. Be who you are in God. Amen. Be the man or woman in God you need to be. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Prescott preach and talk about, and if you hear Brother Prescott preach, what a man and what a prince of God. But Brother Prescott talked about struggling in his formative years of preaching, about how the devil bombarded his mind, and I'm paraphrasing, but how the devil bombarded in his mind how he would never amount to anything in God. Because of it, he has a unique ability to break down scriptures and try to present it in his own style. But yet there is his ministry. There God has crafted a ministry with Brother Prescott in a unique sense, and one of the premier Bible teachers in our movement. But in those early formative years, if Brother Prescott would have tried to imitate somebody else, if he would have tried to mimic, or if he would have been so defeated that he would have went over and sit down and said, I can't measure up. I can't measure up. I can't measure up. His voice would have been silenced. In all of these years, we would have lost one of the greatest voices of God in our movement. Amen. I'm tired of watching young folks, amen, try to measure up and try to be somebody they're not. Amen. Be the woman of God. Amen. Be the young person you need to be. Amen. Don't worry about how you sing. Don't worry about what they think. Amen. Be that woman of God. Amen. Be that person of God. Amen. Be that child of God. Be that one in the youth group. Amen. Be that man of God. Be that evangelist. Amen. Testify to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you another way. Well, I would like them, but I'm not sure they measure up. I got you. How many of you, let's see, how many of you are a junior, senior in high school, or you've graduated from high school, and sometime in this lifetime you plan on getting married? How many of the person you plan on marrying is in this room? Just checking. Some of you got nervous, didn't you? Her parents. They're in this room. That's why you didn't raise your hand. Woo! Some of you probably have your list. Oh, Lord, I want your will, but make them 6'1". Oh, God, whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want, but he better have a blue Camaro. Oh, God, whatever, whatever, whatever you want, but Lord, let him make 6 digits. And you know good and well, he may be so hollow and so shallow. He may have everybody fooled. He may look the part. He may be Johnny spiritual at church. But when he steps across that threshold, you know good and well, he's playing church. He might be everything on your checklist, But as soon as you say, I do, about 6 months or 2 years later, you're going to regret the fact you did that. You might have measured him up, and he measured just what you wanted. But like the old black preacher said, you got what you wanted. Now do you want what you got? You're going to wish to goodness you didn't get that. Amen. It's a whole lot better to be single, one to be married, than to be married, one to be single. Amen. Young folks, you hear me? Amen. Throw away that measuring stick. Amen. Don't worry about how much money they're going to make. Amen. You better find somebody that loves God. Amen. You say, well, they better sing just right. Amen. I want them hitting that soprano note. Amen. I want them looking just right. They got to have just that right blonde hair with that pretty streak and that blue eyes. Amen. I don't believe God's going to make you marry somebody that you think's ugly and you can't look at. No, sir. Amen. But I want somebody that's got character. I want somebody that's got integrity. I want somebody that loves God. Amen. I want somebody that's going to walk together in holiness. I want somebody I can pray with. I want somebody that loves God, that's going to live a calling to the book. I want somebody I know, amen, that I can go to heaven with, that when she bears my children, we're not going to fight over holiness. We're not going to fight over television and movies. We're not going to fight over Little League. We're not going to fight over going to the bowling alley. I'm not going to have to fight over my in-laws on how I'm going to raise my children, but I can raise my children in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Come on, young folks. Amen. You know good and well. Amen. 5 minutes outside the church, whether or not they know that they're really true, whether or not they really love God, whether or not they're really sold out. Amen. If they love God as much as you do, if they don't love God, if you've got them measured up and they're on your checklist, but they're really not true blue, amen. Say thank you, ma'am. It's not going to work out. Amen, sonny boy. It's not going to work out. Amen. Maybe God's got somebody for you, but it's not me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Every one of these preachers could give you stories after story after story. They measured up. Matter of fact, well, here's how long the sleeve lengths need to be. Well, they measure up. Skirt length, it's just right. But here's how the difference. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 7. God has a different standard. God has a different standard. And that is that God does not measure the outward appearance. Man looketh on the outward. Now, not just your dad standing there, but you're one of the strongest kids I know. If I ever get, if Islam ever breaks out in a hole in his church and I'm in a meeting, I'm hiding behind this guy. Not that you girls have ever done a brother handshake with him, but if you ever hit this guy, I mean, he's like the General Motors old saying, like a rock. I mean, guys, you know. He's like a rock. So he's like Saul. He was head and shoulders above everybody. So I could see why Saul was chosen, couldn't you? I mean, if you're picking a king, I mean, pick the biggest, baddest dude you got. I mean, if you're wanting to intimidate everybody, pick the big boy. Pick the bad dude. I mean, pick the guy that's going to intimidate everybody else. I mean, just, you got to get rid of the smile. That's not intimidating. I mean, you got to work on that a little bit. But the flexing thing works. I mean, pick the bad dude. That's the first king, and that didn't work out very good. Because Saul was very shallow. Not that I'm referring to him at all. He's a wonderful young man. But Saul was very hollow. Saul loved the people. He didn't love the presence of God. Saul was such a weak man. He was big in stature. But whatever the people wanted, he was a coward. Whatever he could do to get the applause of the people, boy, he was like a puppet. He'd just do it.
My dad preached years ago about the nation that needed a king but got an actor. That was Saul. He was an actor. He was a... But now it's time for the second king. And so Samuel comes to anoint the second king. And they line up all of Jesse's boys. And the Bible says in the text that I read, 1 Samuel 16 and 7, the Lord looketh not upon the outward appearance, if man does. The Lord looketh not upon the outward. We need a king. Let's measure him. No. The Lord looketh upon the heart. The Lord looketh upon the heart. So how do we measure the heart? Well, it's a different device. It's a different device. Not that we're going to put anybody on a scale this morning. But you know, one of the Hebrew words for glory, it's amazing to me, is weight. Half the times the Hebrew word in the Old Testament is translated weight. There's a weight to the glory of God. It's a weight. When John the Revelator is describing the city of God and he talks about that city that is 1,500 square miles, he talked about the angel had a measuring device, a golden reed, and he talked about the cubits and he said it was the measurements of a man. That was the furlongs, the measurements of a man. That was the outer dimensions of the city. But then when he talked about what the city was made of or how God measures something, he said the walls were made of jasper. When God goes to measuring something, he doesn't give you the outer dimensions of something. He gives you what something is made of. He tells you how something weighs. He tells you what its heart is. And that's the thing about preachers. We cannot calculate. I don't know how much you weigh this morning. I don't know how much your heart weighs. We come to the altar and we thank God and we praise God and we worship God. But really, 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 really what's going on? God measures things completely, completely different. You say, I can't sing good enough. My family, it's all my this and that, and we've got excuses. And you say, I want to do something for God, but I don't have any money. I don't have a degree. I don't go to a Christian school. And we've got all of that. I'm going to tell you here is the only thing you need to do something for God. And that is to have a heart full of the glory of God. Everything else will fall into place. Everything else. Hear me. Everything else will fall in place. If you can fall in love with God and let God's presence in your life, everything else will work out. Amen. If you can be a real person, if you can have real praise, if you can have real joy, if you can really love God, if you can have a real walk with God, if you can be real. I'm tired of watching young folks that just fake their way through. Give us a generation of young folks that are real. Give us some real praise. Give us some real joy. Hallelujah. Anybody want to be real? I said, anybody want to be real? Hallelujah. So he said, how much do you weigh? That's the question. How much do you? Because that's where the measurement of God is. That's where God says, I need to know how much your heart weighs. Because God says, no offense here, fella. I'm going to use you again. We're picking on you last night again. I don't know, you got blessed last night. So God said, I'm going to get David because he's young. He's handsome. But what you can't see is what God said. He's got a huge heart filled with my presence. He may not have biceps that are going to intimidate the enemy. He may not have a stature that makes the enemy turn their wagons around. But he's got a heart that'll rule this world for me. I'm going to tell somebody what this generation really needs. If we can get this generation of young folks in love with God, if we can get the love of God down in your heart, oh, if we can get God in your heart, I'm telling you, there's not a devil in hell. There's nothing stopping the church. I said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I said, we're over. Overcomers. If you can get it in your heart, if you can get it in your heart, the devil is a liar. I don't care what you think. I don't care what your excuse is. You're an overcomer. You're a child of God. I said you're a child of God. You're going to overcome. Hallelujah. Throw away that measuring device. Throw away that measuring device and say, God, I want a heart for you. I want a heart for you. What about it, young men? What about it? How much does your heart weigh this morning? How much does your heart weigh? My wife brought up her personal experience about God's testimony in her life. And when God introduced us together our freshman week at Bible school, I knew she was the real deal. There were guys that they had it all calculated. They were going to go date this one, and they had their whole ministry plotted out. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to this. Man, they were shallow. They were hollow. It was like a firework. Just, they're gone. You never even heard of them because they fizzled out. I mean, they were measuring everything. I mean, they could preach a pretty sermon. They had it all orchestrated. But they were shallow. They were hollow. It was empty. They didn't have that heart. They didn't have that heart. I'm going to tell you, young folks, in this generation, there's so many things even preachers could name. Every week I could name something new that come out we need to preach against. I'm telling you, there's something new. I could preach every week, every Sunday, something new that came out I need to preach against. There's a new app. There's a new device. There's something new I need to add to my... I don't have time. I really don't have time. But if you've got a heart... If you've got a heart, if you've got a heart full of the love and the power of God, oh God, that's the answer. That's the answer. There's no pull. There's no allurement. My heart is fixed on the things of God. And I'm not saying there's not a time to delineate our distinctives in God. But what I'm saying is this. If all we do is measure everything outwardly, amen, we'll become, amen, like full of dead men's bones. My God, I want the life of God inside of me. I want the power of God. I want the joy of the Lord. I want a generation of young people that know how to praise God, that know how to pray, that know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, that know how to worship, that know how to live for God and ring the prayer bells of heaven. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's worship God for a little while. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. While we get ready to make an altar call, young folks, one more time. Come on, let's lift our hands. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Whoa, come on, let's magnify God. Whoa, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whoa, give Him praise. Glory, 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 glory. Whoa, worship the Lord in the house of God. Worship the Lord in the house of God. How many feel the pressure of the world to try to measure up? How many ready to throw your measuring devices away? How many ready to throw those measuring sticks away? Amen. How many ready to throw them away and say, I'm ready to live for God. I'm ready to live for God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. How much does your heart weigh? How much does your heart weigh this morning? I wouldn't ask you to step on this scale for nothing. Matter of fact, it'd be dangerous because I think it only weighs 50. I think it only measures 55 pounds. I think that's Brother Ingram's way of feeling good about himself. I think I got it out of his office. How much? When youth camp is over and you go back and all of a sudden you feel that pull of the world, if you give your heart to God, you won't feel that anymore. All of a sudden you feel that pressure start measuring up. You feel that pressure to start. Well, I'm not this and I'm not that. I'm not tall enough. I'm this and I'm not pretty enough and I don't like this about myself and I don't. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Amen. If you give your heart to the Lord today. I said, if you'll give your heart to the Lord today, God's got a beautiful plan. God's got a perfect plan for every one of you. And young ladies, you hear me specifically. Amen. That pressure to try to measure up and to try to fit in and look just a perfect way. The devil is a liar. I said, the devil is a liar. Amen. Throw away that measuring device. Amen. You're made in the image of God. God's got a perfect plan. I said, God breathed into you the breath of life. Live to the glory of God. Amen. God's got somebody for you that's going to love you and give you a beautiful life. That's going to be faithful to you and use you in the glory of God. Amen. Young folks, if you're ready to live for God, would you join me in this altar right now? Let's come to this altar and worship God. Let's say, God, I give you my heart. I give you my heart, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Do it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Jesus. Oh, right now. Right now. Right now.
To hear Him say,
right now.
Well done, someday.
Oh, right now, come
oh,
on.
Oh, I just want to please the Lord. Oh,
do it, do it, do it. Lord, I give you my heart.
Be in His will in every way.
Lord God, I give you my heart.
To be lost in His
Lord
presence.
Lord God, I give you my heart.
Found in His likeness.
Lord God, I give you my heart.
Well done.
Oh, I'm yours, Lord.
My plan.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Since
bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Come on and worship.
The world was at my fingertips. I had arrived.
Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord.
But the cry could not be pacified from a heart about to break inside. Jesus showed Himself to me. He said, just look what you can be. I just want to please the Lord.
Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love
be
you, Lord.
Be in His will in every way.
Glory, glory,
to
glory.
To be lost in His presence. found in his likeness, to hear him say, well done, someday. Oh, I just want to please
the
Lord.
Be
in his will in every way. To be lost in his presence, found in his likeness. I want to hear him say, well done, someday. Oh, I just want to please the Lord. Be in his will in every way. To be lost in his presence, found in his likeness. I want to hear him say, well done, someday. My plans had all been made, since I already cast. The world was at my fingertips, I had arrived at last. But the cry could not be pacified from a heart about to break inside. Jesus showed himself to me. He said, just look what you could be. I just want to please
the Lord.
Get
a hold of God this morning. Throw away that measuring stick. You've had it out for years. Throw it away. God, you've got my heart this morning. I'm going
to
give you my heart. I'm going to give you all of it. That's right.
Found in his likeness, I want to hear
him say,
well
done. There's a lot of insecurity. Throw it away this morning. Throw it away. Don't let the enemy intimidate you. Give it to God. Let God help you.
The Lord.
Holy, holy.